Good morning, everyone. I'm always glad to be here with everybody here and everybody online. And I'm glad we can do that for shut-ins and different stuff that goes on. We're going to go into this morning. I want to read Psalm 91. We're going to read the first verse. A lot of these, I call them, they're like famous. They're psalms that people know. When you say the word, people know. Because they're truth. They remind us of reality. And Psalm 91 says something very simple. It says, number one, 91:1, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I can't help, when I read this, to not think of so many times I've read this when I was in distress. But I admit, and this is something God wants to do in your life, as you're living and you are reading your word, you will come into these truths because they're applicable, but they have reality. Sometimes there are even conditional clauses that show you how to do that. So I'll be honest with you. Early on, I read it because I liked the idea of being under the shadow of God. I didn't know how that actually applied. You know what I'm saying? Early on, I read the scripture. It's a sense of security that God is there. And, you know, but if you would ask me, how do you abide, you know, as a shadow, what's that actually mean? I would have been short because I was younger. So as you're growing in your faith, you're walking it out. These truths, many times it's like illumination as you're living. It isn't a matter of analysis, strictly analysis or simple study, but it's connected to living. And I really believe the Word of God is meant for people that are living, and they're living the Word of God and they have a desire. Otherwise, we do a bunch of analysis of it and try to hit what we think it means. But there's something about the Word when it comes alive because it's applied to your life. But I was reminded when I read that, I want to go to Romans 8:5. And we're going to start a little ahead of the shadow of God, but it's an interesting thing. Sometimes there's something in the New Testament that is like, you know, that you had the shadow of the truth, but it was implicating something deeper that would even become deeper in Christ. Chapter 8, verse 5, it says, for those who are according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, and the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace, because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And this is really simple, because when we talk about what your mind is set on, I'll really explain this because we need to move to the next verse in Romans. People are set in their minds. There are people that think a particular way, and their mind is set on the way they see things. And you could try to convince them, you can try to talk to them, but their mind is set. Now, what you pray for is the mind set.
The things of the flesh, but rather setting our mind on the things of the Spirit. But I want to explain to you, there's a little catch here that often gets believers. To set your mind on the things of the Spirit is really to be guided by the Spirit. So a lot of people go, I want to set my mind on the things of the Spirit. And they think about things of God. But when our minds are set on the things of the Spirit, they're set on the mind of Christ, what he's thinking. And it's an active thing. It's not some character building thing. It's not simply about, well, Christians do this or that. The mindset on the Spirit is the mindset on the mind of God. And the mindset on the mind of God thinks with the thoughts of God and does the things of God. And I love 12 and 13. It says, so then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but for if you were living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Did you ever try to get over something by simply abstaining from whatever it was that was getting over on you? Everybody has. Every believer has had something, an Achilles, something that they dealt with. Sometimes this one thing hung on, a bunch of other stuff shut off in Christ, and you got this thing. According to the scripture, and I really love this, To live by the Spirit is one of the ways I put to death the deeds of the flesh. So if you simply in your mind, it's about abstinence from evil. I like abstinence from evil, but that's only a part of the equation. I think that's why a lot of people passively stand there and say, give me strength to overcome, give me strength to overcome. But actually, they need their mind needs to be on the Spirit, and then the Spirit leads them. And when you're led by the Spirit, you will put to death the deeds of the flesh. But that's about living. That's about doing. That's not simply about moral fortitude. But that is an active word in many ways. And I love this because I know, you know, every one of us gets saved. And every one of us, sometimes, you know, you give some baggage to God at the gate. And sometimes you try to check your bags at the hangar. And a lot of people do that. In fact, we've all done that to a degree. But I cannot overcome the deeds of the flesh unless I'm setting my mind on the things of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God is moving through me and leading me. And I love this because it says you will live. The promise is living. If you want to get rid of that pesky flesh and sometimes sin, you need to be having the mind of the Spirit. And then the next verse, Romans 8:14, this is really getting into the whole psalm. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And this is really what's critical. It doesn't say for all being led by some Christian ideals, for all being led by whatever church they go to. It doesn't say for all being led by, you know, some kind of moralism. But for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Now, I want you to get an equation here. When it talks about being sons of God when you're led by the Spirit, I'm going to give you the picture that really this speaks of. The Son of God, you've got God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. You have the Trinity, right? And they're one, but they're three. There is a literal multi-composite character. They're one, but they're three. So when we really talk about being led by the Spirit, and that's what a Son of God is, it's an identification that Christ in this earth had. It's an identification that Christ in you, to you, through you, you have. So when you're talking about all who are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. I mean, do you understand how close the Father, Son, and Spirit are? They're one, but three. When Romans gets into this being led by the Spirit, I think a lot about coming under the shadow of God. And we'll get into the Psalm 91 in a second. But again, when you read that, I can't help but to think of this verse, because if I want to be under the shelter or the shadow of God, I'm talking the presence of God, then I want to be led by God. So the whole issue when I read Psalm 91 and even see its fulfillment is found in us who are led by the Spirit. Now, every Christian can be led by the Spirit. That doesn't mean every Christian is led by the Spirit. You've got the tools, you've got the equipment, but the one amazing thing God has always given us, whether you think so or not, is he gives us the volition to surrender to what he wants to do and the empowerment. Many times when I've been a carnal Christian, it wasn't a testimony of what God was able to do or not do, but it was a testimony of yieldedness. And you know, I through the years, I meet people who love to question that. And, you know, it's interesting because the fact of the matter is I've did things right and I've did things wrong. And nobody forced me. In fact, I think we get used to living so instinctively, even if we're carnal, that somehow we believe there's no way we can make a choice. But this is one thing the Lord many years ago showed me. We make a lot of choices. We just get so reflexive in how we make them. We stop accounting for the choices we make. But what's important, I want the shadow of God. I want the shelter of God. I want to be under the shadow. And when I read this, I thought, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are sons of God. Many times people have influence and they lead others. And they may not be pastors. They may just be, you know, human beings influence other human beings. But the reality is, and they may be Christians to where they're kind of saying, you know what I mean? I'm a Christian, and then they're doing a bunch of stuff, and they'll you know, they got the Christian music and the Bible open, but being led by the Spirit isn't simply an identification by the tools you have around, or they listen to Christian music. In fact, I think it's great to listen to music by believers and worship. I love it. I'm devoted to it. I'm devoted in my life to it. But as many as are led by the Spirit, this is the marker of being sons and daughters of God. Those led by fear aren't led by the Spirit. Those led by anger aren't led by the Spirit. Those led by lust aren't led by the Spirit. And yet, one of the things you must realize that as a believer, there will be challenges to when you can be led by the flesh, led by the Spirit, led by the very mind of God and be Jesus in this earth, or led by something else. But I love Psalm 91. And many times I read it and I just like the fact it's like, God protect me, overshadow me. But through the years, God would open my mind far deeper to what Psalm 91 implied. Because as I lived, I saw the Word of God come alive in life. And even as I read more of the Scripture, I came to understand. Some of these Psalms, I call this a comfort Psalm in that it makes a promise that makes you feel secure. But there's a directive in this Psalm that you can't walk past. Just simply saying, I feel good because I'm under the shadow of God. That's actually lacking certain understanding. But God wants you to feel good. He wants you to feel secure in understanding it. Let's read Psalm 91, 1 through 6. So as we're talking about the shadow of God, I also want you to think of Israel in the wilderness for 40 years. That is virtually when people, a whole nation, was led by the shadow of God. And as he was leading them, and they were under his shadow because they were following that pillar and fire by night, which would have absolutely cast a shadow. Pillar by day, which would have cast a shadow because if the sun hit the pillar of glory, obviously, again, you're getting into the shadow. So I also want you to think of Israel and the 40 years. That's a great example of living under the shadow of God. And then as the believer is challenged to be led by the Spirit. So I want to say something to you too. You got to be led by the Spirit. I don't care how, what, because never be led by something or someone who does not get led by the Spirit. Because if you're not led by the Spirit, you're led by the flesh. And if you're led by the flesh, there's a lot of death that happens. And it doesn't just mean physical death. It means death of your spirit. It means death of the vitality of being a son or a daughter of God. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays with at noon. Again, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And we start to go, okay, I want to see this. As a first century believer reading this psalm, I guarantee you would have had a believer thinking of Israel in the wilderness the minute you saw it. Because that's actually the one time in history where even physically God's shadow is what guided the people. And it is God's shadow that the people had to walk with. And you start to think about it, and you think about even the Passover, where God gives the word, and he is a refuge because he tells them how to take refuge. Where he says, you put the blood on your doorpost. If you don't, the death angel will come over, and when the death angel comes over, your firstborn will be slain. There's the shadow, there's the shelter. The shelter lied in doing what God said. Think about if you were to look at this. Let's say this was out and it wasn't even written. You got the people of Israel and they quote this for comfort as they say, I don't want to put the blood on the door because we're loathsome to the Egyptians. And the more we demonstrate our faith in Yahweh, the more we're hated. So I do trust him and I'm glad I'm under his shadow and they didn't put the blood. There would be no shadow. There would be no shelter. Their shelter would be open game for death. Now, a lot of believers, we do the same thing. We quote some kind of a promise verse, but the reality is we quote it in vain, and we don't understand what it actually means. So when the early church would read this, you know they were thinking of Exodus, because the scripture spoken of even in the New Testament is the Old Testament, and it's full, and it's so full of amazing things. And you look at first century believers, they would understand both the shadow and the shelter had a lot to do with moving where he moves, And sheltering and sheltering in that, and sheltering also in what he said, because the thoughts of the Exodus would be clearly a real thing. And their history passed down, they would say, you know, there was a shelter. The shelters of the Israel in their homes were shelters because they were under the blood. And it was an obedience to what that demanded. And it's both the blood, but also the fact that the Father said, here is the shelter, here is the shadow. How many are exposed many times? Listen to me. How many are exposed many times where there's some kind of wishy-washiness with claiming a shadow or protection or a refuge that is no refuge because you're not taking refuge in it? Obedience to the command, and even with it, like I said, the Exodus is really critical. Obedience is a shelter. When God gives me a command, something I need to do to protect myself, he's giving me a shelter. But there's a dualism here. He's not just giving me the shelter of his truth and his word, but it is with that following him that his shadow overshadows me. So we're talking the presence of the Lord and the direct correlation, meaning everything was about where the presence of God was leading. Think about it. The pillar would stop, they would set up camp. The tabernacle would be put together, they would set up camp. When the pillar up and started moving, they would tear up camp. Do you know what it's like to take up a camp of 2.5 million people? No small feat, you know? You could almost, and I'm sure sometimes people wrestled with, oh, wow, he's moving again. Really? Are we going to do this again? We got to. You know what it would have been like if you actually read the description of the tabernacle? What it would be like to pick that up and move it? Are you kidding me? That's essentially moving not just a trailer or a mobile home. That's essentially moving a small house. And not just moving it, but you have to treat it sacred as you move it. It's interesting. But I want you to think about that. God's shelter is for every believer. There is no believer, and I will tell you this, and I'm sure you can relate to this. Any time I did not abide in the shelter of God, I did not abide under the shadow of God, I got in trouble. Any time I've stepped out of that, it causes damage. It causes death. And even back to being led by the Spirit of God. Because again, when it says these are sons of God that are led by the Spirit, again, it all correlates to the shadow of God, to the shelter of God, to the presence of God, and where is God moving? Now, here's the thing, though. A lot of people, again, they read.